Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for coming. I'd like to start this press conference thanking the Secretary General, Jens Stoltenberg, for his very kind visit. It is tremendously important for us, and it's a great honor to have him here today. It's a work visit, as you know, that before the upcoming defense ministerial to be held in the month of February, which will lay the foundations for the NATO summit of the month of July in August, in July. There have been very many things we've covered today, and I'm sure that it will all strengthen the already very important relationship between Spain and the Atlantic Alliance. As you know, Spain joined the Atlantic Alliance over 30 years ago, and with very many satisfactory results obtained by the parties throughout this fruitful relationship. Let me give you examples of things we've done today. First of all, the very strong commitment of Spain with the Atlantic Alliance and our allies has been left very clear. It's been reaffirmed. We've also spoken about a NATO that looks at challenges with a 360-degree approach, very importantly, north, south, east, and west, which is very important for Spain. We've also insisted on the importance of the adaptation of the alliance using the very important structures and resources that we have to be improved. And I'm sure the Secretary General will be mentioning this too. We've spoken about how important it is to make the EU-NATO cooperation compatible. Both organizations contribute to our common defense and security policies. Spain has been a member of NATO for 35 years, and from the Spanish standpoint, a strong Europe in defense and security helps make NATO stronger in Europe. And this is Spain's aim, among others, when we talk about the relationship between NATO and the EU. As you know, Spain is a country that is firmly committed to NATO, that is acts on based on solidarity. We are participating in very many operations. 40% of Spain's operations abroad are carried out under the aegis of the alliance. We have approximately 750 troops in different places, such as Latvia, in the framework of the enhanced forward presence. The deployment of a Patriot missile battery in Turkey and Sea Guardian operation in the Mediterranean. In addition, we participate in Resolute Support in Afghanistan, which will precisely be reinforced in 2019 with the new needs for training of the Afghan National Army. We're also part of the core team of NATO in Iraq, and Iraq is another country where Spain will be increasing its troops and commitment. We are present as a country in all of NATO's flanks because we are convinced that the borders of any ally affect the borders and the security of Spain. And this is a conviction of our government. In addition to this ongoing commitment over time, which we will continue to preserve in Latvia, in the Baltic air policing, and also in every other matter that has been developed by our country over time, such as, for example, the standing naval groups, both in Northern Europe and in the Mediterranean, as well as at the Rota Naval Base, where we host in the defense system, the alliance's anti-ballistic missile system for Aegis destroyers of the United States. as you can see from there, the we consider all of NATO's borders to be the same as Spain's borders, and that's how we see, have this joint vision of the Atlantic Alliance. In addition, I also like to say that we have covered, and with the Secretary General, during the different meetings we've had, that the next great challenge ahead, fully supported by Spain, which is the renovation of the command structure that is being carried out at present, in addition to the force structure. In this context, the effort made by the Secretary General and by his whole team to make NATO more effective, more efficient, and to use the means and resources at its disposal more intelligently is also extremely important. I'd also like to point out that we do understand that we need to convey to the Spanish public opinion how important it is for Spain to belong to an organization such as the North Atlantic Alliance Organization. We have allies that, the same as ourselves, acting out of solidarity, are aware of the need to protect the borders and the sovereignty of us all. In this regard, a common security and defense policy is essential in a world such as ours. We need to use our means effectively, and we are doing so. Spain is absolutely convinced of where we stand, where NATO stands today, and the path that is being taken to make it more effective and also better understood by the public opinion. This is the will of the Spanish government. We want Spanish society to know NATO well. It is in the front line of our the defense of our values, security, defending our freedom, and also our well-being. We cannot exercise our freedoms if we don't live in a safe world, and our being a member of the Atlantic Alliance contributes to this because it helps us live in a safer world at the same time that we are also generous with others. The Secretary General knows this, that I have told him that he can count on us to improve the effectiveness of NATO with the commitment of our country, with the commitment of Spain. And before finishing, I would once again like to thank him for his visit, for his commitment to Spain, for his commitment of continuing to bring our interests together with what matters most to all of us, be it European policies and Atlantic Alliance policies, because it matters to our stability and to the defense of our democratic societies. So thank you very much, Mr. Secretary General. You have the floor.
Thank you so much, Minister Dolores de Cospedal, and Maria, I really appreciate to be here today together with my delegation, and so much thanks to you for your warm welcome. It's always a pleasure to be in Madrid. And to also say that we really appreciate the commitment of NATO to our alliance and the Spanish contributions to our collective defense. Because Spain is contributing in so many different ways to our shared security and to our collective defense. You mentioned actually many of them, but let me just highlight how much we appreciate that Spanish troops are in Latvia, being part of our enhanced forward presence and helping to deter any aggression against our eastern allies. We also welcome the fact that Spanish planes, jets, are regularly policing the airspace in the Baltics, and that you are hosting a very important capability for NATO, the Aegis ships in your base in Rota. You have the Patriot batteries in Turkey, and you are also playing a key role in the fight against terrorism, both with your presence in Afghanistan, because the reason why NATO is in Afghanistan is to prevent that country from once again becoming a safe haven for international terrorists, but also by the fact that you are present in Iraq, training Iraqi officers, soldiers, and helping NATO to build up our training activity in that country. So you are contributing in many different ways, both to our collective defense, but also to our fight against terrorism, and we are extremely grateful for that. We are confronted with a more demanding security environment. We see new threats, and we see old challenges becoming more demanding. We see cyber and hybrid threats. We are making NATO's cyber defenses even stronger with changes to our command structure, and we expect to set up a new cyber operation center. And Spain's National Cyber Command could play a key role in contributing knowledge and experience to NATO. We have just had very good discussions addressing a wide range of issues on how Spain contributes to NATO and how NATO is adapting and responding to a new and more demanding security environment. We also discussed, as you mentioned, the preparations for the NATO summit in Brussels in July. And we will work on two strands as we prepare for that meeting. First, strengthening our collective defense and deterrence. This is about keeping the peace in Europe and keeping us all safe. And second, working to project stability beyond our borders. This is key in the fight against terrorism. And NATO has played an important role in this fight for many years. Today, we contribute to the global coalition to defeat ISIS with AWACS surveillance flights and training for Iraqi forces. And in Iraq, Spain, as I mentioned, is making a real difference by providing specialized counter-IED training. As we prepare for the summit, we will consider how our role could evolve within the global coalition to defeat ISIS. Allies partners are also adding 3,000 more trainers to the rescue support mission in Afghanistan, helping prevent Afghanistan from ever again becoming a safe haven for international terrorism. Afghanistan has taught us that prevention is better than intervention. So NATO's is focusing on how can we prevent conflicts, and we are working with partners like Jordan and Tunisia to strengthen their defense and help them provide for their own security. NATO is adapting to keep our people safe. But in order to keep adapting, we all need to invest in defense. In 2014, all allies committed to stop the cuts in defense spending, gradually increase and move towards investing 2% of GDP on defense within a decade. I welcome that Spain has recently announced plans for significant increases in defense investments. And I encourage you to continue on this path. This is key for fair burden sharing between North America and Europe and for keeping our people safe. So once again, thank you so much for hosting me and my delegation. And I really look forward to continuing working with you as we prepare for the upcoming summit and continue to adapt NATO to a more demanding security environment.
Buenas tardes, Diego Urdanet.
Good afternoon, France Press Agency. I have a question for you both. Spain's denouncing Russian intervention in the Catalan crisis. Have you talked about this during your meeting? And for the Secretary General, are you aware of this interference? Does this matter worry you?
Bueno, acerca de...
Regarding the subjects covered with regard to Catalonia, the fact that there has been so many fake news, that the media has witnessed so much manipulation in with things coming from the country you mentioned and also from other countries that we know well. Yes, we have talked about that, and we've talked about how Western countries and how allies and NATO member countries, we need to know that we have to use all the means within our reach to prevent our public opinion from being manipulated. We have to prevent fake news and manipulation in the social media leading to situations that have nothing to do with reality, and thus attempting to interfere in domestic or national issues. Yes, we've talked about that, of course, and we've also talked about cyber defense in general and the social media. Today, they are a de facto field of defense already. We've also talked about the willingness of the Atlantic Alliance to make that field of action an active one, to not leave it unprotected, to increase our capabilities in that field.
We discussed and addressed in our meetings today the reports we have seen about attempts by Russia to interfere in domestic issues in several countries, including reports about that in Catalonia. And any interference from outside is, of course, unacceptable. We have seen that there has been a significant increase in different attempts to try to interfere by different means in domestic political processes, and the volume and the complexity of these attempts have increased significantly. We take this very seriously. That's one of the reasons why NATO has strengthened our cyber defenses, but also why we are improving the way we are responding to disinformation and propaganda. We don't believe that the way to respond to propaganda and disinformation is propaganda and alternative disinformation, but we strongly believe that the best way to respond to disinformation and propaganda is by providing the truth. The truth will prevail. We need an open and free media press, and we really believe that journalists, you should ask the difficult questions, you should expose disinformation and attempts to interfere when that happens, because that's the best way also to make sure that the truth is communicated in an open and transparent way. More specifically on the issue of Catalonia, that's a domestic Spanish issue, which should be resolved within Spain's constitutional order. At the same time, I think it's important to also state that a strong and unified Spain is good for NATO. And therefore, we are not going to interfere in domestic Spanish issues, but we also follow the developments closely because Spain is an important and highly valued ally.
Sí, hola, soy.
Hello, I am from the IFET agency. I have a question for Secretary General Stoltenberg. Have you come to Spain to ask for a greater contribution by Spain to NATO missions? And what opinion do you have regarding investment in defense? Yesterday, the minister recognized that Spain would probably not reach that 2% in defense spending by the year 2024.
Spain is one of the allies. that really contribute to our missions and operations. They contribute to our enhanced forward presence in the Baltic countries with several hundred Spanish troops in Latvia. They are a key ally in our rescue support mission in Afghanistan, and Spain is going to increase their presence in Afghanistan. And as I said, Spain is playing a key role in our training activities in Iraq, especially when it comes to countering improvised explosive devices. And Spain is also contributing to different other NATO missions and operations, including air policing in the Baltic region and different maritime operations, for instance, Sea Guardian. So Spain is really contributing a lot to our missions and operations. And compared to many other nations, Spain is actually among all the top performing nations when it comes to contributions to NATO missions and operations. Regarding defense spending, I expect all allies, including Spain, that spend less than 2% to increase defense spending. And that's exactly what we agreed back in 2014. But I think it's important to remember exactly what we agreed in 2014 when we made what we call the Defense Investment Pledge. That was not to reach 2% immediately, but it was to stop the cuts. Spain has stopped the cuts. Second, it was to gradually increase, and Spain has announced that they will gradually increase. And third, to move towards spending 2%. And Spain has announced that they will then move towards spending 2% of GDP on defense. So I expect Spain to deliver both on the commitment we all made back in 2014, but also I expect that Spain will deliver on the national plans, the plans they have just announced when it comes to increased defense investments. So I welcome the fact that Spain, as NATO, is moving in the right direction. And I would just share one chart with you because we have actually a quite good story to tell that European allies, after years of decline, have started to increase. And this is a chart showing decrease in defense spending across Europe and Canada for many, many years. Now European allies and Canada have started to increase defense spending again, meaning that a burden sharing is something we really are addressing, and I welcome that Spain is part of this story, where European allies and Canada are starting to invest more in defense. You can have this afterwards if you want.
Buenas tardes, Manuel Ángel Gómez.
Good afternoon from the Cadena Cope. I have a question for the Secretary General. Are you worried about the offensive by the Turkish army in Syria? Do you think Turkey is entitled to deploying this offensive? Don't they realize that there are Americans supporting the Kurdish militia? Isn't that a problem? Aren't you worried that there could be clashes there between two allies? And finally, is NATO going to take over the command in Iraq, the operation, and when would that be?
NATO will not take over the role of the global coalition to defeat ISIS in Iraq, but we will work together with the coalition, meaning that we will work together with the coalition, partly because NATO is already part of the coalition, but also because NATO is now in the process of scaling up, or at least considering to scale up our train and capacity building activities in Iraq. So NATO is partly in Iraq as part of the coalition, but we are also in the process of doing more when it comes to training and capacity building of Iraqi officers in Iraq. But there is no question about NATO taking over. What we will do is will be in close coordination with the global coalition and also with other international actors, as for instance the European Union. When it comes to northern Syria, as I said, NATO is a member of the global coalition to defeat ISIS, but we are not present on the ground in northern Syria. We provide support to the coalition with our AVAX surveillance planes and training in Iraq, but we're not present on the ground in northern Syria. Turkey is the NATO ally which has suffered most from terrorist attacks over many years. And Turkey, as all other countries, have the right to self-defense. But it is important that this is done in a proportionate and measured way. And that is the message I convey every time I discuss this issue with different NATO leaders, including, of course, with the political leadership in Turkey. I spoke with President Erdogan last week, and we are in regular contacts with other allies who are involved, including the United States. And I urge also direct contacts between the United States and Turkey to try to find the best way to address the challenges we all see in northern Syria.
Last question. Iñaki de la
Expansión, Iñaki de las Heras. I have two questions for the Spanish Defense Minister. The first is, I would like to know what the main expenditure programs are going to be, the new investment plan that the government is going to be launching. And secondly, about doubling defense spending over 17 years, whether this will mean a 15% increase per annum. First of all, with regard to the investment cycle that you were referring to that needs to be approved generally at the government cabinet, we are looking at a period of over 15 years. The programs we've agreed we need to launch most urgently, taking into account their duration and due planning. We're talking about frigates, the F-110 that we've announced on several occasions. In addition, also the flight trainer for the Air Force, the resupply for the Air Force, the command and control system, and the 8x8 vehicles for the Army. I've already given you more than three examples, I think. And these are the programs that we will be starting more quickly because their duration is longer. This is the forecast. We are combining this. It's not necessarily tantamount to our commitment, both in the framework of NATO and the EU, but also, as the Secretary General has said, to gradually achieve over the time a 2% investment of our GDP in defense. Because we're talking about investment in security. We're talking about money aimed at guaranteeing the rights and freedoms of Spaniards. And I would like it to be perceived this way. In addition, of course, initially the investment will be lower because programs always require low investment levels at the beginning until they start developing, because first it's research and development plus it depends. Depending on the program, sometimes their expense goes up, in others it doesn't. And we can't annualize the information for you for every year with an exact percentage. That would not be correct. I would like to underscore that the Spanish government considers that the expenditure in defense is an investment in security, instability, in the fight against the global challenges we have today. One of the most important things that our president of the government has talked about with the NATO Secretary General, and in which Spain is firmly committed, and also NATO, as you have seen from the words of the Secretary General, is that NATO needs to be very aware and very present in countering this global threat of terrorism. And Spaniards know very well what it is to fight terrorism while preserving our rights, our freedoms, and our safety. And that is no longer done in physical borders. It goes well beyond physical borders. And this is the aim. This is the spirit with which the Ministry of Defense and the Spanish government is tackling our work for the coming years. I would briefly, before we end, if the Secretary General allows me, to say that we have known that there has been an information published in several communication media regarding the demise by accident of a Lieutenant Fernando Perez Serrano in October in an F-18 at the Torrejon Air Base. This has been published and mentioned in some communication media. This news is absolutely false. I would like to deny it here. That it was said that the false news is that he was pressured by his superiors to pilot that plane. And this has been denied already, and we are doing so here formally, that he was under any pressure, that Lieutenant Fernando Perez Serrano was pressured by his superiors to pilot any aircraft whatsoever, and not that aircraft in particular. At the beginning of any aerial exercise, preparation is supreme for the Air Force and tantamount in taking its decisions, and it is so included in all the regulations for military flights. Right now, there's an official investigation underway to determine the causes of the accident. It is under the responsibility of the Air Force. Their service is studying the causes of the accident, which will be made public. But I absolutely want to deny here in public the information that has been recently appeared in the press. Thank you very much.